Welcome to Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, that love coach who helps corporate women who have been pushed down and back due to traumatic relationship or childhood trauma in their past, which has caused them to see themselves not in a bright light that makes them people please and not show up the way they know they are capable of showing up. My mission is to help women who are on the path to heal from their past wounds, move through their limiting beliefs and internal blocks so they can guide other women through online coaching, which is that deep down what they are feeling they really want to do instead of sitting in their corporate job. Each week I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, and purpose. No more hiding, no more waiting. The time to take care of yourself, to uplevel your life, is now. Hello, everyone. Today, I have a really strong guest with me, Chris Harder. For those who don't know him, he, after 11-year career, as an executive and partner in banking industry, experienced plenty of success. However, he severely lacked fulfillment and was completely burned out. Recognizing that a change needed to be made, he retired from banking 2011 and partnered with his beautiful wife, Lori, and brand LoriHarder.com, along with their Isogenics Network marketing business. Chris now handles most of the business affairs in and business coaching for their two multi-million dollar brands and has found exactly the fulfillment and happiness he was seeking in career. And one thing that you should also know about him, he has absolutely amazing must-to-listen podcast for the love of the money, aimed at helping people bust through their money mindset blocks to become unapologetic about their pursuit of wealth. It is through interviewing business moguls and celebrities and exposing their exciting stories of contribution and philanthropy that helps prove that money is a tool for good in a world of many needs. Yes. Chris, I'm so excited to have you.
It is a total honor to be on. You promised me that we're going to have fun, so I think I'm more excited for this show than any of the other ones.
Yes, because you know some people, they like to have strategies and systems. I'm like, yeah, that's all good. Let's have fun. Let's play a little bit.
Absolutely. Let's start everything with fun.
Yes, please. Let's do that. You know, and one thing that I truly, truly love is that you're all about fulfillment, not just success and the things that look good on the outside. So let me ask you one question. If there's a person in the audience that never ever heard Chris who? Yeah. What is the one thing that you would love them to know about you besides your amazing bio?
That generosity is kind of in my DNA, and that everything that drives me is because I want to be generous both to the outside world and to myself. And I think that's really important. People, they feel like it's okay to say you're generous to the outside world, but then they get weird when it becomes time to be generous to yourself. And the problem is this: if you are only being generous with anything you have to give, your time, your love, your energy, your money to the outside world and never to yourself, you're going to burn out. And then you're going to have nothing to offer the outside world. So I'm a huge fan of generosity in every possible way to everybody outside of my world and to me.
So what is the one gift you are giving yourself daily?
Oh, awesome question. Really good sleep. Lori has trained me to not stay up absurdly late and to really make sleep something we build our day around. So I get like 9 hours of sleep almost every single night, which is such a luxury. And I don't wake up to an alarm, which is the best feeling on the planet.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And that's a truly gift because when you think about it, if you don't sleep, if you don't rejuvenate, you cannot accomplish anything anyway. You will be grouchy. You're not going to be showing up as your best. And no matter what you are doing, if you're an entrepreneur and managing million-dollar companies, or if you're just a parent who is staying at home or employee, you always want to show up as your best. And trust me, you don't want to deal with me after 4 hours of sleep.
I have a feeling that could be actually rather scary. But what you're saying is so right. Like, listen, you can either be this half-assed, empty cup that has nothing to really pour into other people, or you can be this cup that is flowing over, and it's in all of that excess that's flowing over that you give to people. One of those cups is going to run out. The other one's going to keep going. I want to be the one that keeps going. There's too many people out there that are like, you know, waking up as zombies and going through the day as zombies and trying to help people as zombies, and you're not helping anybody. You might think you are, but you're not. The type of help, the level of help, the kind of help that you're giving is just a shell of what you could be giving to the people that you care about. And that only starts when you protect yourself first.
I love that you are saying protect yourself first and also provide for yourself first, because if you are, like you said, just pouring and giving, you will become resentful. Because even if you're a generous person, like you said, and I believe that with my whole heart, I had the pleasure to meet you. So even though, like, it doesn't matter where you are, you're so caring and generous and nurturing in every environment that you go. I can imagine a few years ago how hard it had to be for you if you're generous and you are attempting to help others, pouring from the empty cup, when you're like, okay, I got the money, I got the house, I got it all, and I'm still not happy. And you know, so many people, Chris, are just going through the motion. How do you get out of that rut? How do you, like, what can you change first?
What a great question. And you're so right. Like, this is an epidemic. People don't want to show up the way they're showing up, but they're showing up as these half-assed, resentful, crabby versions of themselves. And to change that, you have to actually understand that putting yourself first is not selfish. It's actually the most selfless thing you can do, so that you can become an awesome version of yourself for everybody else that you encounter that day. And the easiest way to do that is get up just a little bit earlier and make sure that you have some protected time in there. That's literally what Lori and I called it. It's our protected time where nobody can get a hold of us. Nobody can stop us from our happiness habits, as we call them. And here's ours. Like, if anybody wants to steal them, I wake up to a mantra and I wake Lori up to the mantra. And it's the same thing every day. I roll over, I wake her up, and I say, babe, I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, more fit than I was yesterday. And I make her say it back to me. And then I roll right over after she says it. And sometimes I make her say it back a couple times. I roll right over and I just close my eyes and grasp my hands. And I'll say a gratitude prayer for like 60 seconds. And it's so juvenile and it's so random and it's different every day. It's nothing more than taking inventory of things I'm grateful for in that moment. So it might be like, I'm so glad that my dog Waffles is lying across my legs. I'm so, you know, grateful for this beautiful home I woke up in. I'm grateful for Southern California. I'm grateful for my wife next to me. I'm grateful for my health, right? It's different every day. And look what I did. I took the first 90 seconds of my day before I put my feet on the ground, and I controlled the types of thoughts I wanted to have. I controlled the type of mood that I wanted to be in, and that's one of gratitude. Instead of waking up and letting thoughts fall into my lap of like, oh, I have to do this, or oh, it's too early, or oh, you know, I don't like this, or I don't like, because that's what most people do. They just let thoughts fall into their lap in the morning instead of controlling what thoughts. So that first 90 seconds can be really powerful. And then we go downstairs, and it's non-negotiable that we read a book before we open our Instagram or anything else. And not a whole book, but you know, we call it pages before swipes, 10 pages. Make the coffee, do our meditation, get our workouts in. We do all of that stuff before the outside world is allowed to get a hold of us. Because if I let anything from the outside world seep in before I've done everything to fill myself up, then I'm letting the wrong stuff in, and I'm going to therefore kick the, you know, like have the wrong output the rest of the day.
I love it. So you are responding then instead of just reacting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I am choosing the propaganda that's going to form my thoughts for the day instead of just reacting to whatever propaganda that falls into my lap.
I love that. And I remember the days when I was going to sleep with my phone and waking up with my phone, because I used to have a social media marketing company. Mm-hmm. So I was always like afraid something will happen, the world will end, my clients will need me. Mm-hmm. And it was horrible. I couldn't sleep. I wasn't focused in the morning. And I was real, like, I was a slave of my own business. I'm like, well, yeah. Shouldn't it be more fun having your own business? Shouldn't, like, you have more time? So then I started to do recently, I always, like, last couple of years, I had my morning routine. What I started to do is put my phone on airplane mode, 9 p.m., and I don't turn it on 9 a.m. Some days you have meetings early, so you do it earlier. However, I just really love that you have something that it's non-negotiable in your morning routine, that it's building you up, and then you are so confident and so grateful that no matter what comes on you in your life, in your day, you're like, hey, I'm good.
Yeah, totally. I'm telling you, it is a game changer. There's no easier part of your day to control than the first 30 minutes, and anybody can do that.
So you would say the 30 minutes, it's non-negotiable. What if we have, like, moms that are super busy and you're like, you don't know, I have like 3 kids screaming in the morning.
Yeah. So this is going to sound like, who's this guy without kids telling me what to do? But before I answer this, we have a million mom and dad friends that are slaying it because they get up earlier, or they make sure they have a morning nanny, or remember, find yourself in a story. If you can't afford that, get your butt up earlier before your kids. Like, do the things that are uncomfortable in order to create a life that is later far more comfortable. That's what you have to do. And most people are just, like you said, they're going to go through, like, so tired and so crabby and so resentful, and they can't find up to save their lives. And they think that they're never going to get out of that. But they can get out of that if they start doing something that they are not already doing today. And that usually is in the form of some kind of sacrifice, whether it's turning off your favorite TV shows, whether it is picking up your favorite books, whether it is, you know, putting down the ice cream every night, whether it is getting up 30 minutes earlier than you were before. Like, there's always something you can sacrifice in order to start doing something that'll give you a better life.
I love that. Yes, because people are like, oh, it's too hard. It's too difficult. Like, I don't have more time for more difficult in my life. You know, what I don't realize that it all becomes easier. You know,
yeah, it does. You get what you tolerate. And most people are like, they're going through the motions. They think there are no other options. But the truth is, they're tolerating it. Like, if you have a husband who doesn't get up and help you with the kids in the morning, you're tolerating it. Or if you have a wife that doesn't get up and help you with the kids in the morning, you're tolerating it. You're allowing it to happen. If you have someone that talks to you disrespectfully and you think there's no way out of it, you're tolerating it. I understand it doesn't feel good. I understand it's been going on forever, but you are tolerating it. You get the life that you tolerate.
Absolutely true. Now I want to turn just a little bit around, because I'm obsessed with your podcast.
Thank you.
You know, I remember when I listened to it the first time, I'm like, finally somebody says it. Finally somebody really dives deep in it, because it felt to me like there is such a big gap in between, like, okay, you have money, you're evil, you're selfish, or you're a very good, spiritual, loving person, so you gotta be broke, because it all comes from heart. And I love that you are really promoting that good people can create even better world because they are wealthy. Like, how do you want to change the world if you don't live in a financial freedom?
Yeah, it's true. And I get so tired of this class warfare that's going on out there where, you know, if you have something that somebody else doesn't, you must have screwed someone to get it. And I'm so tired of this badge of honor that really is just totally false, and it's created by people trying to protect where they're at, right? We're all very good meaning making machines. This badge of honor of, well, I struggled and you know, I grind my way through and I'm broke, and therefore I'm not being greedy, and I don't have access, so somebody else can have more. Like, that's bullshit. If you actually understand how the economy works, when you have more, you have the ability to help other people have more. If you create a successful company that then creates wealth, that then creates jobs, and the people in those jobs that you created go and they now buy a car, they buy ice cream, they go out to dinner, they buy a new home. Now you are literally creating this trickle down wealth, person after person after person after person, because you decided to get up and do something to create that wealth. And let's just talk about how much of a positive impact you can have if you're living paycheck to paycheck versus if you have excess money. Let's look at a real life example. Now, first of all, I want to start by saying every piece of help out there is good and needed. Okay. So whether you can do something little or do something huge, every bit is needed. But if we're really being honest and if we're not going to live in this bullshit world of, well, at least I'm doing my part, right? If you have a cause that you care about, then how can you help turn the tides of that cause that you care about? Can you do it when you're paycheck to paycheck, or can you do it when you can write a 6 or 7 figure check? Obviously the latter. And so if all you can afford to do right now is go down and hand out food in a food line, awesome, do it. That is needed. But you're not going to cure poverty by doing that. You're putting a Band-Aid on it. You see, you're putting out a Band-Aid on it. Now, when you become wealthy, not only should you have your butt down in the food line like you see me do on Instagram, but you should also be writing 5, 6, 7 figure checks to help fund the programs that cure that poverty or whatever the cause is that you care about. So it's time for us to stop playing small and hiding behind, well, I did my part, because really what you're doing is you're saying, well, I did what I could do because I'm not willing to turn off the TV. I'm not willing to have people judge me. I'm not willing to do what others aren't willing to do. I'm not willing to work the extra hours. I'm not willing to do the scary stuff, but at least I'm doing, you know, giving what I do have. Mm-hmm. If everybody would step up and play to their highest ability, then I believe that we would have enough money, enough solutions, enough resources, enough everything to cure every damn thing that ails us in this world. But most people aren't doing their part.
Absolutely. So what would you suggest that people can start doing to play bigger?
So number one, make the conscious choice to look in the mirror and say, I've been doing good, but I was put here to do great, and I'm going to wake up and start pursuing great. That's always the first choice. Mm-hmm. Then the very next choice is saying, who in my current tribe is leading by example and doing great in a way that will lift me up? And who is keeping me where I'm at? Even if they're keeping you somewhere that's good, they're still keeping you where you're at. And you are not going to do anything great if you're around a bunch of people that are just doing good. Sorry, it's just the facts. And that doesn't make them bad people. It just makes them not aligned with where you want to go. Big difference, right? So then the next step is you need to get your butt out there and find the human beings that will have the influence on you to lift you from good to great. Whether they're making more, whether they're higher, you know, whether they have an education you don't, whether they have already walked the path you want to walk, whether, you know, no matter what it is, it's time for you to up-level your tribe. And that doesn't mean leaving the other ones behind. It means adding to it, right? It means joining the masterminds. It means joining the groups. It means networking with the people. It means doing what it takes to be in the rooms that scare you. Because if you're in the rooms that are comfortable, there's absolutely zero change that's going to happen. But when you get in the rooms that scare you, they're going to go from scaring you to lifting you up in a hurry.
I love that. Do the things that scare you.
Mm-hmm. Be in the rooms that scare you.
Yeah.
That's the most important room you can be in.
Yeah. I love that, up leveling. And also, I really like that you said it doesn't mean that you have to leave the people behind. It just means that you keep going. And some people, they are comfortable in being good and having a good life. And if you really want to create an impact that it's going to matter, you got to up level. And I know that Lori's talking about it in her book too, up leveling your tribe. And it's incredible. It's really powerful. Yeah.
Listen, you're part of the problem in your group of friends and your family. You're part of the problem if you are not up-leveling your tribe, because you're not inviting anyone new in that can make you take a better action that will therefore inspire the rest of your tribe to take a better action. You guys are all just doing the same damn stuff and sharing the same damn ideas until somebody invites somebody new in that's doing something better. So you have the responsibility of being that person that goes seek somebody out and invites them in so that it can have that trickle down effect into your friends and into your family.
I love that. And I know that you do have your own mastermind for, you know, that you are leading. Where did you start it besides, you know, like years ago when you were starting on your personal development journey? And I know that you started to read tons of books. You took on the challenge. I heard a story that's fascinating. So tell us, where can we start?
Okay. So I think what you're really asking is, if I'm listening to this and I decide, dang it, now is the time, where's the very next step mm-hmm. that you take? We already started with take a look at your tribe, take a look in the mirror, make that conscious choice. Then we said, take a look at your tribe, start inviting higher level individuals in and up level the tribe. Mm-hmm. The third action is change your habits. Like, your habits are what'll make or break you. So right down to those early morning habits I was describing in the beginning of the interview, you need to start choosing the habits that are not so radical you won't stick to them. But don't be like, I'm going to meditate an hour a day every day. Come on, you're not going to do that. Let's be honest. But what if you started choosing 5-minute meditations every single day? That's something anybody can do. What if you started reading 5 pages a day? No matter what, you promised you'd read 5 pages a day. That'll probably turn into 10 or 15 or 20 because you'll love what you're reading. You know, what if you said, my schedule's super tight. I literally can't leave the house to go to a gym, but I do know that during nap time, I could do a 15-minute power workout where I don't stop moving my body, right? That little bit you could stick to. So find the small habits that are different than what you're doing right now that will start to grow on each other one by one by one. Don't do the sweeping change that you're not going to stick to, because nobody does.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Start where you are and see what you can change that it's going to be sustainable.
For sure, for sure.
That's incredible. So let me ask you, Chris, I'm curious, what are you right now the most excited about what's going on in your life?
Ah, so many things. Okay, so as you know, I've got my elite level mastermind, and actually nobody knows this, so breaking news for you here, I guess. I've been building a more entry-level mastermind, because the number one message I get on Instagram is, hey, I don't qualify for your elite level one. Where am I supposed to go? And I'll be honest, I've got nowhere to point them. There's no entry-level beginner masterminds out there that I think are good or that I would invest in or that I believe in. So I'm like, if I get this many messages every single day and I don't have anywhere to point these people, they're kind of screwed. Somebody needs to do something about it. So I decided to do something about it. I built a curriculum that will take somebody's business from kind of cute and kind of started to knowing everything they need to know to be in radical momentum in 5 months. And people will start hearing about that in about a month. Well, depending when they listen to this. So right now it's, what is it, early October. So they'll start hearing about it in November.
I'm so excited. Okay. That is really exciting, because I know someone who is in your mastermind, in the elite one. I'm like, dang, I wish I could be there, and I don't qualify, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting that you can help even more people with your gifts and abilities. So that is real. I'm excited now.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. I feel like I have an obligation to do it. You know, the first message, I'm like, eh. Second message, eh. The 100th message, I'm like, all right, I probably have an obligation to create the solution. Otherwise, I'm leaving people behind.
Yes, you were leaving us behind, and we're so excited.
I love it. All right, I can't wait.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I will keep stalking you on Instagram. That's where I love to be. And for those who would like to connect with you on a deeper level or see what you're up to, where is the best place?
All right, so two places to find me. One, go to fortheloveofmoney.com. That houses all of my podcasts. And if you want to communicate with me, Instagram is the only platform I'm on these days. I don't know why. I freaking love it. And I made a commitment to answer every single DM that I get personally. And the reason I want to do that is I feel like if somebody takes the time to send a message, then they deserve the respect to get an answer. Now, it may not be the world's longest dissertation of how to change your life, but I promise it will be a piece of quality information that will make impact based on your question.
You're incredible. You really are. You and Lori, you are such a world changers, and I'm so blessed that we can keep following your journey. So thank you so much for your wisdom, your time, and I hope you did have at least some kind of fun.
Are you kidding me? This flew by. I had a ton of fun, and you're doing the exact same stuff. So thank you for the way that you are showing up in the world. I love watching it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Of course. Right back at you.